Good morning, church, and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. This week, we're going continuing to go through Paul's letter to the Philippians. For those of you who maybe just tuned in for the first time, I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's a privilege for me to go through the Bible here with you each week. And like I said, we are in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. He's wrapping everything up here. So last week, we saw that Paul was encouraging the church here to intervene and help out these two women who were in conflict, right? Euodia and Syntyche had some kind of beef. Paul wrote to the church in this last part here to intervene, to come alongside them, to help them resolve this issue. And it's interesting that he didn't note the source of the conflict. I think this is instructive for us as we continue to build on this idea from last week that unity is preeminent over the cause of our struggles, right? So when we see here that Paul is only encouraging the church to intervene, he doesn't mention the source. He doesn't get into the, you know, whatever Euodia might have done or Syntyche might have done or said. He's only concentrating on the resolution. So we can only really surmise at his intent beyond what we see here. We see through the context of this letter that he was focused on unity. And since Paul was a student of God's word, we can kind of, you know, get a hint from there of maybe some other motivation for him not to bring to light what the conflict was. So we see in Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. So I think Paul is not wanting to see this quarrel continue, and it doesn't necessarily help in this situation to bring up what, you know, we stirred up. I don't think that's the only reason, though, right? It's not just for unity's sake, but we see where the Bible cautions us not to gossip or to slander. And since Paul had really no firsthand knowledge of the source of conflict, because remember, he's in a Roman prison here, receiving news about different churches in different areas. And so he's writing to Philippi. So he'd no doubt heard secondhand that these two had some kind of conflict. So he's writing without any firsthand knowledge. He wasn't there. And so he shows us great wisdom in not repeating a matter that he was unfamiliar with. Proverbs 18:17 tells us the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. And so Paul isn't really trying to judge whether or not what he had heard about these two was right or wrong. He was just urging the church to see what they could do to bring about unity. And then we see here that in Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. So I think Paul was trying to avoid being this whisperer, just continuing kind of the drama through whatever he might have heard second or third hand. But he avoids that, right? He doesn't want to get caught up in gossip or slander because he has no firsthand knowledge. So that's instructive for us. He also instructs the church in Ephesus in a similar instruction regarding conflict, right? It says here, and the way we should speak about one another. In Ephesians 4:29, he tells the church there, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Right, so Paul's understanding here that this conflict between these two, Euodia and Syntyche, just repeating what he said, she said, what she did, what she said, does not build up them according to their needs, right? It just furthers that debate and drama. So Paul avoids that, just urging that the unity be maintained. So then he continues in his letter here, to the key. So I need to understand that sometimes when we dissect the Bible here verse by verse, if we don't remember what came before and bring it with us, it can color our understanding of the verses that we're in. But we need to remember that Paul's continuing to write about this conflict and the church stepping in to help resolve it when he brings us to verses 4 through 6. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And then in verse 8, he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So see that? What we might miss sometimes if we dissect too closely is we latch onto a verse and we kind of claim it out of context. So certainly God provides for us a peace that we cannot understand. However, Paul is telling us that what precedes that, right, we need to bring that with us, is that's what brings us peace. So we must rejoice in the Lord always. And so it's important that Paul, it is so important that Paul repeats it again, right? He says, "Again, I say, rejoice." So we need to keep in mind that he's writing to a church, encouraging them to intervene and bring about unity to these two believers who are in some kind of conflict. And then he says, "Rejoice as you work to solve conflict." That's instructive. So we're in conflict and we're supposed to rejoice as we're trying to resolve it. That's a little counterintuitive. It doesn't seem quite right. Well, not in the way that the world would have us solve conflict, right? In the world, like, we're supposed to carry that with us and brood over it and rehearse it in our minds and tell other people about what that person did to us or what that person said to us. And we're trying to get as many people as we can on our side and make ourselves out to be the victim and the other person out to be the victimizer. And in that way, we can alienate the other person and get, you know, the upper hand. And, you know, you hold a grudge and you get even and all of these things. But not so with the kingdom of God. Unity is our guiding principle. And so it can seem a little off when Paul says to rejoice as we are working through our conflict. So continuing, we are also to let our gentleness be known. And again, this is in the middle of conflict, right? It's not when everything's sunny and everything's going great that people know your gentleness, but it's when you're in the middle of some kind of conflict. It's hard to receive, right, in the world, right? Aren't we supposed to be like ruthless and put our foot down and get our way and let the other guy know who's boss, right? Well, in the world, yes, but not in the kingdom. And so another tough one we see is that, you know, and maybe it's the toughest, but it says here, do not be anxious for anything. So in the middle of conflict, don't get all worried and let your what-if machine, right, that's located between our ears, that what-if machine gets cranked up and it's like, well, what if this doesn't get resolved? And what if this person does that? And what if that person says this? And what if? And what if? And we generate anxiety within ourselves over this conflict. What Paul is saying is don't think of all the negative things that could come about through this conflict. You know, clinical psychologists, there are people who help other people with anxiety is primarily their job. And so they should know what people worry about, right? So in recent surveys and studies that they've done, it's, you know, they say that up to 85% of the things that people that they see that worry about never come true. So 85% of the things that people worry about never happen. And it's the same for us as well. So consider that in your own life, right? The things that we worry about, the things that we become anxious for, the what-if machine, that whatever that generates, 85% of that is never going to happen. So follow God's instructions and don't worry about anything. So rather than worry, what Paul is leading us to here is to pray. And that's the next part of verse 6, right? Prayer and supplication. And so supplication is when you ask for something of God earnestly and humbly, right? You know, we're not going to demand from God or try to manipulate the circumstances. We just earnestly and humbly ask our Father in heaven. Matthew 7:10, we see, if then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? And that's the key, right? We have a Father in heaven eager to give us those good things through prayer and supplication, through our casting our eyes upon him. And the other verse that comes to mind is Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And that's also a passage about anxious worry about things that are going to happen in life. No, seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. So what better than a gift of the peace of God, right? The peace of God as a gift from God in the midst of conflict, if and when we rejoice, let our gentleness be known, and seek him in prayer and supplication. So I hope that's encouraging for you today. Go out and be blessed.